Our first speaker tonight is Elder Danny Holland. Brother Holland is the pastor of Faith, Missionary Baptist Church here in Bowling Green, and I sure do have a great deal of love and respect for Brother Holland, and I want you to give him your attention, and as he comes to give his lesson, you continue to pray for him.
It's indeed a privilege to be here tonight at Fairview Memorial. Thankful for the opportunity to try to present this lesson, the Winter Bible Study. While that we've heard many, many wonderful teachers, not only this year, but times past, I realized that the Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. And I sincerely desire your prayers tonight as we try to present the lesson that was given us, the prophecies of Christ's sufferings. The Bible warns us about false prophets. In the Old Testament, there were false prophets. In fact, Jesus said, many would come to me in that day, say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name, cast out many devils and done wonderful works, he said, but I'll tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So even in this day and hour that we live, many people like to go by the name prophet. But I believe that to be a prophet is one that's led by the Spirit of God, and not only to foresee and tell things of the future, but there's a fulfillment to that prophet. There's a fulfillment to his prophecy. So as we begin our lesson tonight, I would like to look and read just a couple of verses from the 12th chapter of the Hebrew letter. And of course, this is widely held that this letter was written to the Jewish Christians, those that had been saved by the grace of God in Jerusalem. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As we tried to pray and study for this lesson, not only as we look back into the Old Testament and we heard many of the previous teachers as they talked about the Old Testament foreshadowing of Christ and his church and their fulfillment. Many talked about Moses and how that rock was Christ, how it was smitten, the sacrificial lamb, how God would provide himself a lamb. And there's just a lot of things that have been talked about in previous lessons that probably would be applicable here tonight. But as we ask the Lord to give us a few thoughts, these thoughts not only of the suffering of Christ and of his on the cross of Calvary, how that he bled and died for us, but also his mental sufferings of how that he was abandoned, how that he was the people that had turned away from him. All the disciples fled, his apostles, they turned away from him. And there were many sufferings of Christ that the Old Testament tells us about and points us to that went along with the physical sufferings on Calvary. And the scriptures are plain about, in the Old Testament, pointing to Calvary. And first of all, tonight I'd like to define prophecy as Webster, and also in the Hebrew, it's very close to this. Let me look at the Hebrew. It tells us that to prophesy is to speak by inspiration according to the Hebrew language. And Webster says that to prophesy, prophecy is defined as a prediction of the future under influence of divine guidance, and also the utterance of a prophet. To suffer means to undergo something painful or unpleasant, to endure or to bear, to be afflicted with, to be punished, to receive a penalty, especially death. We're foretold about Jesus' sufferings throughout the Old Testament, and there's many prophecies that point to the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Some are more obscure and veiled than others. No doubt there's many prophecies, and I'm going to say there's probably hundreds upon hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that point to Christ's sufferings. That some of these that are very plain to us and my preaching brethren that are here tonight, and deacons and lay members of our old-fashioned Baptist churches are well aware of many of these prophecies. But there's also some that you and I may not recognize, we may not be aware of. And only God can reveal these through His Spirit. The scriptures, the Bible teaches us, are spiritually discerned. And when we study and are prayerfully engaged with God, there are times that the Lord can point to us sufferings of Christ. And I thought about how that the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, and the scapegoat, and then Brother Huff the other night talked about the ark, and I thought about how that when the ark was preparing, and how that Noah preached for those 120 years, and how that people scoffed and laughed and had very much along the same point as the Hebrew lesson tonight, how that Christ, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And I believe that many times the shame and reproach that Calvary brought is something that we overlook. And I don't think that we can ever, in this Adam body that you and I occupy, we can't really understand the passions, the sufferings that Christ went through. We can't really understand how that he was abandoned, how that he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, as he bore our sin on Calvary. We can't really understand how when he was innocent in every way, he was falsely accused. We can't really feel, I don't think, as we ought to. how that he was rejected and he was despised. I believe one day after a while when we get to heaven, the Lord will let us in a little bit more on these feelings, because if we could really feel that, if we really understood that, I think there'd be a lot of people that God's children, that we were living our lives in a different way. We'd be preaching in a different way. And we'd, if we could really feel the pain and the agony of Christ's sufferings, as we think about how that Jesus himself told of the importance of the prophets foretelling his sufferings to come, Jesus many times quoted how that these things must come to pass. The Bible tells us that in Luke 24 and 44 that Jesus said, "These are the which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." So he went back to the Moses some 1,500 years before. He went back to David some 1,000 years before. He went back to the prophets, and we could name any number of those, but tonight we'd like to talk a little bit about Isaiah, some 750 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. And Jesus was making the point that he had come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And as we think about what Peter said in Acts 3 and 18, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." The Bible tells us also in Acts 10:43, "To him gave all the prophets witness," referring to Jesus, "that through his name," Jesus' name, "whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." The words that the prophets penned were true because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And tonight, as we look back into the Old Testament, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1 and 21 that "for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So the Old Testament pointed to Christ. And our teachers during this winter Bible study have taken different lessons and different points and have shown us Christ in the Old Testament. They've shown us Christ's church in the Old Testament. A foreshadowing is coming. And as we think tonight about a couple of chapters that we'd like to look at a little more closely, I realize that this is nothing new. This subject of the sufferings of Christ in the Old Testament is something that I guess as the Apostle Peter said, that it would stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance tonight. Now, I don't know just exactly in these Bible study lessons where that the preaching stops and the teaching starts. And I really don't know where the teaching stops and the preaching starts. But I do know that whether, and I understand and I thank God for the preachers and those that God has given a great teaching ability to, but whether we preach or whether we teach, there must be one to reach. The Holy Spirit of God must reach out. Whether we are preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, we must have the Holy Spirit for it to reach us tonight, to edify God, for it to touch lost people. And no matter how eloquent the speech, and no matter how what road or what direction that we come from, we must have the Spirit of God to reach those that it's intended to. And I think about the Apostle Paul. Many times he said, I've planted, Apollos watereth, but God giveth the increase. And neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And said, we're laborers together with God. And as I look out tonight and I see my brothers and sisters that have been saved by the grace of God, and I want to bring just a few scriptures tonight, and I believe that there'll be scriptures that will ring a bell way down deep in your soul that'll say, yes, these prophets were inspired by God. These prophets, they could see Calvary. And I know that we could look at Genesis 3 and 15 where that tells about how that the seed of woman, that it would bruise Satan's head and Satan would bruise his heel. And there's just a number, hundreds of scriptures tonight. But I would like for us to begin with the 22nd Psalm tonight. And we're going to look at a few verses there. If you want to turn with us, as we're not going to try to read the 22nd Psalm. It's rather lengthy. This psalm is sometimes referred to as the Psalm of the Cross. This psalm clearly shows the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior at Calvary, as it was to come. And I think that it is so particular. It shows... not only it quotes Scripture, as we look at our first verse of the 22nd Psalm. The prophecy in Psalm 22 and 1 includes the cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I believe that as we look at the prophets, that the message is what makes a prophet a prophet. And we see in Matthew 27 and 46 in the Hebrew language, and then we see the same exact words recorded as Christ was on Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalms 22 and 7. The Bible tells us that, and all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head. The fulfillment of this prophecy is found in Matthew 27 and 39. And they passed by and reviled him, wagging their heads. Now, that's not to say that there might not be other scriptures that would also fulfill these prophecies, but these are proof texts of certain individual scriptures that they reviled him and they wagged their heads, just as the psalmist David prophesied. The Bible tells us in Psalms 22 and 8, the prophecy was he trusted on the Lord, the scripture said, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. The fulfillment of David's prophecy is found in Matthew 27 and 43 as Jesus hung on the cross and they cried out to him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The mocking, the derision, those things that Christ endured. And I'm thankful that, the Bible tells us that Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible teaches us that Jesus left the riches of glory and became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. This was not a surprise to Jesus, was it? He knew his mission here on earth. But yet he loved you, he loved me, and fulfilled the will of the Father that we could be granted repentance and remission of sins, that we could be restored back into fellowship with God and live in heaven one day after a while. Prophecy, Psalms 22 and 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melteth in the midst of my bowels. The fulfillment, and in the ninth hour, Mark 15 and 34, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, which is, Eloi, Eloi, lama, sabachthani. I don't know if that's pronounced right, but which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the Lord bore our sin on Calvary, as Christ did, the Father, which could not look upon sin, turned his back while Jesus bore our sin dead on Calvary. I can't imagine what that feeling must have been like to the Son. As we think about this prophecy in the 15th verse, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of the earth. The psalmist said 1,000 years before Calvary, he said that my strength is dried up like a broken pot. In other words, he was dried to the point that he was just as dust, and his jaws and tongue cleaveth to his jaws. The fulfillment, John 19 and 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Pointing back to this scripture, he said, I thirst. The scriptures tell us in Psalms 22 and 16, for the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. The fulfillment, John 19 and 37, and again another scripture saith, that all these scriptures, the prophets had been led to pen down that they might be fulfilled. Another scripture saith that they shall look on him whom they pierced. The prophecy also in Psalms 22 and 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Fulfillment, Luke 23 and 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. So as they stared upon him, the psalmist said, Luke recorded that the people beheld him, and the rulers, they derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him, if he be the Christ, let him save himself." Psalms 22 and 18 tells us about how that they parted the garments among them and cast lots for his vesture. The fulfillment, Luke 23 and 34, then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots, almost verbatim what David recorded 1,000 years before. The Bible tells us in Psalms 22 and 31, "They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this." That there would be people say that this is what Jesus did. And the fulfillment of this psalmist prophecy is in John 19 and 31. "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Christ said, "It is finished." I'm thankful today as we look back into this 22nd chapter of the book of Psalms that we can see the prophets as they were led by the Holy Spirit of God. And not only that we can see the prophecy, but we can look later down through the years of time and we can see the fulfillments of these prophecies. Another book that we would like to look into would be the book of Isaiah and, of course, the 53rd chapter. The Bible tells us about how that the details of the sufferings of Christ. I believe that the 22nd Psalm points to a lot of things that happened on the cross of Calvary. And this tells us a lot of the sufferings that went along with it as well. The Bible tells us how that this chapter tells of his excruciating pain, his rejection, the abuse and the shame that he bore, the humiliation, the injustice, and the abandonment while on the cross. This chapter is often referred to as the chapter of the suffering servant. I'd like to read just a few of these verses in the 53rd chapter with their prophecies and a few of the fulfillments. In Isaiah 53 and 3, the Bible tells us that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The fulfillment of this prophecy from Isaiah could be found in John, the first chapter, the 10th and 11th verses. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Isaiah 53 and 4 tells us that surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We see in 1 Peter 2 and 24, the fulfillment of this, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Isaiah 53 and 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The fulfillment can be found as in many of these scriptures that we read of the prophecies in the Old Testament, the fulfillment could be found in many places. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures." Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Galatians 1:4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." The prophecy of Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The fulfillment, 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Isaiah 53:7 prophesied he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. "He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." The fulfillment, Matthew 27:12-14, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him, Never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." The prophecy of Isaiah 53:8, "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken." The fulfillment could be found in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Prophecy of Isaiah 53:9 says, "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." The fulfillment can be found in Matthew 27:57-60. "When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed." Prophecy of Isaiah 53:10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." The fulfillment, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I'm so thankful tonight that we can see the crossing of the years, how that the Lord inspired these prophets, and how that just at the right time, the Bible tells us, in the fullness of time, that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, as we continue on, Isaiah 53:11, "He shall see the travail of his soul," the Father seeing the travail of Jesus, "of his soul, he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." The fulfillment, I see the golden text of the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hebrews 10:28, for Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. The Bible tells us in Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The prophecy of Isaiah 53:12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The fulfillment can be found in Mark 15:27-28. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Romans 8:38 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, as we look at the 22nd Psalm and the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we've already discussed the book of Zechariah, which also points to many of the sufferings of Christ, I'd like to look at just a few. We'll not take much time. I think our time is swiftly passing. But some of the other prophecies of Christ's suffering would be how that God would provide himself a lamb. And we had that subject taught here. The stone which was rejected. It's shown in Psalm 118:22, and it's fulfilled in 1 Peter 2:7. We have, if you want to look at these a little bit later, we'll have these outlines up here. How that he was betrayed by a friend. How that there's prophecy in Isaiah, how that he was spat upon, that he was smitten, and that he was scourged. How his body was pierced in different places in the scriptures, especially in Zechariah, the 12th chapter. How that the suffering can be looked upon in Moses' day as the serpent that was lifted up on the pole. And we had a good lesson on that as well. And how that not a bone would be broken, and how that he was given vinegar to drink. I'd like to close our lesson tonight as we think about the prophecies of Christ's sufferings. And in truth, one of the greatest prophecies I ever found was when I was a sinner. And it wasn't a prophecy that God had given Moses. It wasn't a prophecy that God had given David or Isaiah or any of the major prophets or the minor prophets. But it was a prophecy that I heard when I was a sinner, that I must seek the Lord and that I must call upon him in order to live in heaven one day after a while. And the people that were telling me that if I would make an altar and begin to call upon the name of the Lord, he would save me. He would record my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that I could live in heaven one day after a while. You know, our definition is to prophesy, is to speak by inspiration. We've got a lot of people in our old-time Baptist churches that have been led by the inspiration of God to warn people to flee the wrath to come. And I think that's our duty as we look at the prophets and we look at those that were led in the Old Testament to point to Calvary. And I think that these prophets, they painted such a clear picture of Christ, such a clear picture of Calvary. There is no doubting that this is the promised Messiah. This was the picture of Christ. Even though that it was to come years down the road, they looked forward that God would send the promised Messiah, His only begotten Son. And it there's types and shadows of it throughout the Scriptures. Just as we look backward, that He did come, that He did bear our sin on Calvary. The Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. And as we think about the time when we were lost, I remember some of you here tonight may have been in a seemingly right way when that people that had been saved by the grace of God, they were quick to say you must be born again if you're going to live in heaven one day after a while out in the future, if you're going to escape that awful place called hell out in the future, you'll have to make preparations to meet God now. Amen. And I'm thankful today that somebody preached to me. I remember the 10th chapter of the Roman letter. As Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Somebody preached to me and somebody testified to me. Somebody came to me and said, the Lord will save you, but you'll have to seek Him with all of your heart. I'm glad that the Lord still continues to inspire His people, to lead His people by His Holy Spirit, just as these prophets were led by the Holy Spirit to pin down these things. I remember people telling me about things out in the future. I remember one that told me that when I was on the altar seeking God, I thought I was in a lot of trouble. I'd been raised a different way, deceived, but I was seeking God on a folding chair altar. She came by and put her hand on my head, and she looked out in the future, if you will. She said, he's not in enough trouble yet. And I found out about 12 or 14 hours from that time, she was exactly right. I wasn't in enough trouble yet. And now the Lord saved me. I want to tell you about the fulfillment of some of these prophecies. They said that the Lord will save you. He'll give you something in your heart that you can know about. He'll give you something you can feel. He'll give you a testimony you can tell others about. He'll give you a home in heaven. And about 12 or 14 hours after that little lady said, he's not in enough trouble yet, the Lord began to deal with me on the job at school. The Lord saved me standing in the corner of a little office at school. And you know, I look back and I see the prophecies that these people had. And they told me the truth, but yet telling me the truth and having the fulfillment. Oh, what a blessing it is to have the prophecies and have the fulfillment. I'm glad that it was fulfilled in my heart. I'm glad in my heart that I have what these people were pointing me to. They were pointing me to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm thankful, and I believe that we all ought to continue to prophesy, to preach, to teach, to testify as God leads us. And He's going to tell us many times, no doubt, you need to warn them there's trouble out in their future. But you know there's a remedy for it. There is the good news, the gospel of the Son of God.